have some fun.
Bringing a whole new attitude to your afternoons.
Oh, I love that.
You know, two dudes talking sports.
We're going to be buddies. We're going to be pals.
Bingo. How fun.
Live from News Talk 1480 WHBC.
It's a household name.
Powered by Paramount Elite ICS.
The best double play combination in Stark County.
It's the Kenny and JT Show.
Have a great show.
You've got to stay hydrated today.
You think?
Where's the water?
You're not. It's right here, man. I got my water. Okay. You got your water?
Yeah.
I've been drinking it all morning because right now the heat index in Medina, Ohio, as we're still doing, this show from home, you and your dojo, me and my, living room, 98 degrees, the heat index right now with a temperature of 90 degrees. So I'm staying hydrated. I don't want to end up like that pitcher. I don't know if it was with the Angels or the Rangers yesterday who threw up off the pitcher's mound yesterday. Did you see that? I sent you the video.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. No, I won't watch that. That's just disgusting to me. You know, you walk outside, and it's like walking right into a sauna, and it takes your breath away almost at first.
Yes, yes.
It feels
wonderful.
Playing with the Wonder Dog outside, Lisa was pounding on the window, wanting me to look. I opened the window. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you literally open the window, and it's just like a puff of steam comes at you.
It's a heat wave, man. It hits you right in the face. And you showed me the video of Lucy. You had the hose out, and she was chasing the water from the hose, man. You know what? Her initial burst, her quick twitch muscles are impressive. She's got you talk about getting off the line of scrimmage, man. That dog can fly.
Low center of gravity. That dog, you know, I wanted to call her a British bulldog. She reminds me of the British bulldogs, the old WWE wrestlers. Lucy, man, that breed is usually kind of lazy, like to lay around a lot and do nothing. This dog is totally different than that. She will go until the cows come home, man, and she loves to run. But you've got to be careful because the snout-nosed breeds like that, they can't regulate their breathing. So the nice thing was to have her outside and play with her in her little swimming pool and keep her cool. Otherwise, they can't regulate their breathing. They'll have a heat stroke.
She's got her own swimming pool, Lucy.
Well, we got her. Yeah, you've got to. Kenny, I'm not joking around this time. I mean, I like the kid, but if these dogs can't remain their body temperature, they'll die. They'll have a heat stroke and die. You know, a dog regulates its breathing through its nostrils, through its nose. And when they can't regulate their body temperature, it's lights out, man.
But I love the swimming pool. I saw you got her the swimming pool for hot days, especially like today and other hot days in the summer and everything. And was she reluctant or did she jump right into the swimming pool?
Well, it's really not a swimming pool to her. It's more of a water dish. She just goes there and drinks the whole thing.
Oh, gosh, that's hysterical.
Stay hydrated.
That's the key today as we're on till 6:30 up to Indians baseball tonight as they take on whatever ails you in Major League Baseball. Just schedule the Detroit Tigers and you will be cured because the Indians yesterday. Brian, give me a little Jose Ramirez from yesterday, please.
You know, bro. Home run pitch.
And he swings and crushes one deep down the right field line. It is a fair ball home run. Jose Ramirez with home run number 17. A three-run shot, and the Indians are piling on now. Swing and a liner to right. That's a base hit. Here comes Ernie Clement. He will score. The throw to the plate cut off. And the Indians lead it 13-4. And Ramirez with a 5-RBI night.
Why they would pitch to him is beyond me. He was 2-for-21. Pitch around him if you can. I don't know what the situation was with on-base guys. I mean, he exploded yesterday.
You could have had a hit yesterday. Indians erupted for 19 base knocks yesterday. Everybody in the starting lineup had a hit. They scored 13 runs, both high water marks for this season so far. And you're right, man. That was exactly what the doctor ordered, especially after a long trip to Minneapolis that didn't go so well. And the injury to Josh Naylor and to a man, each one of these guys had Josh Naylor on their mind yesterday when you listen to the post game, and they wanted to have a good outing for him. So, you know, you use everything you have to in a situation like this. When you've got so many injuries, it's more than just embracing the next man up challenge. It's like, hey, man, let's just produce. Let's just see what we can do.
you yesterday, I'm going to give you credit, you were the reverse black cat yesterday, because all you talked about yesterday with the Indians was the poor hitting from the catchers of the Cleveland Indians. And yesterday you texted me after this happened with Austin Hedges.
The pitch swung on, hit high in the air to deep left. Grossman's back on the track. Go on to the home run porch. And on a warm, muggy night, Austin Hedges hits a towering two-run homer to left, and the Indians now lead it 5-1.
Felt good for the kid. You know, he's still only batting 165, but he got a hold of a breaking ball, and he sent it over the big green, whatever you want to call it, mini monster in left, and his batting average rose 4 points. He went one for three, but the one hit was a monster shot that they needed at the time before it became a blowout yesterday, and that was, you know, an integral part of the win yesterday. You know, a game like that, when it starts to get it, go off the rails for a team like Detroit, there's no coming back. And that was one of the key hits that really got them over the hump, and it was all clear sailing after that.
That's what he is. He's kind of an all or nothing guy. It's either a bomb, right, or a double that hits high off the wall, or nothing. So, you know what, at least, you know, make them count when you do get the big hits. And, you know, good for him. And I heard him talking with Andre Knott after the game last night, how, like you said, they had Josh Naylor on their mind and everything like that. They went out next man up mentality and played for Josh and got the win and pounded those terrible Tigers 13-5.
I'll tell you what you really have to like. When you watch a game like yesterday, you watch hitters like Bobby Bradley who are becoming really scary at the plate, and I'll tell you why. When the Tigers put the shift on him, he waits, 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 and just shoots at the left field. So it's just a matter of time till they stop utilizing the shift on him. You're seeing the same with Eddie Rosario and Cesar Hernandez as well. And these are really, this is really important for a team that's going to be struggling with their starting pitching and probably bullpen moving into the second half of the season, because you're going to have to rely on more offense. And if you keep trying to beat these pitchers, more times than not, you're going to lose. Take advantage of this shift. Wait on the pitch, shoot it to the left field, and get on base. Get them on, get them over, get them in.
Yeah, and Jose Ramirez, JT, I think they started another wave of voting or something for the All-Star team or whatever. I'm looking at his
phase
numbers,
two.
Right? Yeah, phase two of the All-Star voting, and we aren't halfway through the season yet. This is you kind of, when they hit the 80 game mark, 81 games is the halfway point, right? In a .162 season, he's at 74 games right now, Jose Ramirez. So that means he's got eight more before he hits the halfway mark. He already has 17 bombs and 49 RBIs. So if you double that, meaning he'll put up similar numbers in the second half of the season, you're looking at a 35 home run season, 100 RBI season. The batting average isn't where you'd like it to be, but you'll take the power numbers and the runs batted in over the average any time. So this guy's, he was what, runner-up MVP last year? This guy's putting up big numbers on a team that really has no protection around him. So he may be playing better this year than he was last year.
That's key to it. There was no protection around him in the first part of the season this year. Nobody could hit on this team, and he was carrying the entire offense. Now that the rest of these guys start to heat up a little bit, it's going to be really interesting to see what he does moving in past the All-Star break into the second half of the season. And it just goes to show you that Jose Ramirez, as much as we love Francisco Lindor, is truly the MVP of this team, always was and always will be while he's still wearing this uniform.
He's projecting, JT, for a 100-run, 100 RBI, 35 home run season on a lousy hitting team, like we said, that had no protection around him to allow him to get better pitches to hit.
All that coming off his first slump of the season as well.
Yeah, and so, but like we said, who better to break out of that slump than the Detroit Tigers with either their young pitchers who haven't pitched a lot in the majors, or their young pitchers who just stink, and they'll face one of those guys tonight.
Yeah.
And hopefully they can continue to swing a hot bat that, as a team, is over 250 for the month of June.
Right. And you know what? The Detroit starting rotation, we caught up at a good time right now because we're getting the worst of their rotation now in this series. And that was a pretty decent team in the month of June. They were over 500, believe it or not. and they were playing pretty decent baseball. So you're catching them now with these guys that are like 1-1 with a 6.10 ERA or whatever. You got to take advantage of it, especially now. And let's not look too far in advance, but we do know that Houston's coming to town.
Yes, you've got Houston, and then you're off to Tampa Bay. So that's right. Why I always use this terminology. You like to get fat against the cupcakes, okay? Get fat, eat those cupcakes, build a margin, and then see if you can play 500 against it. If you go 3-4 in a 7-game stretch against the Astros and the Rays, I'll take that if you're already 10 games over 500 going into that stretch.
Yeah, normally I look at these games and go, okay, as long as we can win the series, I'll be fine with it. In this instance, you need to sweep this team because you're going up against a guy today, he's 2-8 with a 6 ERA, and tomorrow 0-1 with a 5 ERA. You got to take it. You got to get fat now, man. You need these games. What are they, still 2.5 out? Two games out of first place now.
Two.
Picked up a half game
because they got rained out.
The White Sox didn't play last night, correct. So the Indians right now standing at 42-33, better than a lot of people anticipated, or right about what people thought they would be.
For me, I figured they'd be 500 the whole year. They'd be a few games above, a few games below, make it at 500 to call it a season. So they're exceeding my expectations to this point as we come to the end of the month of June.
See, and I differ. I thought they would have been above 500, but I thought it would have been because of our pitching. I thought you're going to be winning these games, three games, 3-1, 2-1, 2-0, 1-0 games. But that's not the case because our entire starting lineup is hurt.
This team somehow, some way, and give credit again to Terry Francona for making them, and his approach, it sounds cliche, it's coach speak, it's manager speak, but it's the way he's managing, and that is worry about today, and who's ever in the lineup today, that's who we go to play with, and we try and win the game today, not worry about tomorrow or you know, be concerned about what happened yesterday.
I'll tell you something else, too, and we're tough on this guy so much, and we never give him credit. The Indians at the beginning of the season were averaging about 4 runs a game. Now they're averaging a little over 5 runs a game. Last night they explode for 19 hits, 13 runs. Let's give credit where credit is due. Can't believe I'm about to say this. Ty Van Berkelio, your hitting coach. 19 hits.
It's the Tigers.
Leading Triple the league A. almost at some point in time during the first part of the season in home runs. You've got to give this guy some amount of credit because you didn't expect this team to be a long ball hitting team. You didn't have any studs in the lineup. You got Framil Reyes hurt. You've got Josh Naylor hurt. All your long ball hitters are gone for the most part right now, with the exception of Jose Ramirez. Let's give a little bit of credit, you have to Ty Van Berkelio. We never do. We always want to give credit to Carl Willis. Oh, they can always come up with great starting pitching. Somehow they develop starting pitching. If we only had a hitting coach. Hey, man, the Mets fired their hitting coach at the beginning of the season. They were in first place.
I'll give them a little bit.
You have to.
Show me for the whole season.
Show me what happens. Aren't they showing you enough? You said that you thought they were going to be a 500 team. They're 9 games above 500,
right,
and they're hitting the ball.
Well, again, this next 7-game stretch, talk to me about Ty Van Berkelio after that 7-game stretch when they faced the pitching of the Astros and the Tampa Bay Rays.
They hit well against the White Sox. They have a winning record against them. They're only in first place.
I know, but these are the elite teams right now in Major League Baseball, not what the predictions were before the season. Or, you know, I want to see how this team handles pitchers who will adjust to them as well as have a game plan, and will Van Berkelio and the hitters of the Indians be able to handle the adjustments. But I will say this, advantage Indians hitters because of the crackdown rule by Rob Manfred.
Maybe.
Taking the sticky stuff off the baseball.
That's fine.
And so, therefore, these pitchers that were dominating aren't as dominant anymore.
Well, all you have to do is look at their record. Their record against above 500 teams is better than the teams it's leading them, being the Chicago White Sox. They're doing something right, whether you want to believe it or not. And the thing is, you know, good hitting creates better hitting. These guys get on a roll. Maybe they change their stance or do whatever. Whatever works, keep doing what you're doing. You're going to bang out 19 hits in a game? I'm cool with that. I'm good with half of that. I'm good with averaging, you know, 7-8 runs a game, which would be fine. Get your 10 hits, 8 hits, whatever it is, because you're not going to rely on your starting pitching, and I don't want to tax this bullpen too much.
I'll give them credit because they are 9 games above, all right? And win tonight, win tomorrow, be 11 games above when you go into that 7-game stretch against the Astros and the Tampa Bay Rays.
I got news for you. The White Sox beat up on Detroit when they play them. Why shouldn't we? They did the same thing against Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you just have to.
That's the thing. I mean, the Twins stink, the Royals stink, the Tigers stink. So in a 5-team division, 3 teams suck, 2 are good. And that's the White Sox and the Indians. So when you play those crappy teams, you've got to beat them at least 2 out of 3, if not sweep them when you've got them at home or when they're down, when they're injured.
Right.
And they already, you know, lack talent to begin with. So kudos to them for being 9 games above and a big win yesterday to end their 2-game losing streak.
And I'll tell you what else, too. Now, today is what, the 29th of June. We're 1 month away from the trade deadline. And the funny thing is you're starting to see movement throughout Major League Baseball. There's a couple of trades made between the Marlins and the Blue Jays or whatever. And it just makes you wonder, and you start thinking, okay, the Indians have to start thinking about doing something, I think. Because if they can play for the next month at 500 and only trail the White Sox by a couple, 2, 3, maybe 4.5 games by the All-Star break,
yeah,
you got to start wondering if they're going to do something, and I mean do something. We always thought, oh, they're going to trade, make a deal, bring in an outfielder, maybe another infielder somehow, and especially now that Naylor's hurt. I think they go after a pitcher, Kenny.
Well, I think depending on what is the trading deadline, a month away from tomorrow, right? July 30th, is that when it is? So they've got a month to determine what their bigger need is. Do they get Aaron Civale back, in a decent amount of time? Is Zach Plesac going to be back here in a week or so since he's out on rehab? What's the latest on Shane Bieber? If both of those guys, if Bieber and Civale are down for an extended period of time, you need another starting pitcher. You're correct. All right.
I think you need one regardless. I wouldn't mind another, maybe a fourth arm, just in case somebody else goes down in the second half. Why wouldn't you? It's an insurance policy.
I don't necessarily disagree with you there, but I want to see if this offense can now, since it's heating up outside and the bats are heating up with the weather, let's see if this offense can maintain this. Get Franmil Reyes back, right? See what he adds to the offense. Can Jose Ramirez do this for 6 months after carrying the team through the first 3 months of this season? Will Eddie Rosario start to bring that batting average up? Although his RBI total is pretty good,
right.
I mean, he's projecting to have a 100 RBI season right now, even though the batting average isn't where we want it to be. So from that standpoint, I would like to add another potential bat, if possible, in that outfield with Naylor down. But let's see where they are health-wise come July 25th, 5 days away from the deadline.
Teddy Rosario hitting .255. I'm fine with that, even though he's your cleanup hitter right now. But he's out of position because of the loss of Franmil Reyes. So you're right. Get this team healthy, and let's see what can happen.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with the Indians. So you got to be happy with them. You hear them every night here on WHBC with Hammy and Rosie calling the action. They'll have it for you again tonight, 6:35 pregame, 7:10 is first pitch with the Indians and the Tigers. Did you watch any NBA basketball last night? Did you watch the Suns and the Clippers?
I did up until 9 o'clock because you know it came on at 9 o'clock, don't you? Brian, do you have any?
Uh-oh, really?
Brian, here do you have go. Any?
Uh-oh.
Here it is. Part 2 last night, A&E, the documentary on my favorite band, Kiss. Outstanding.
So, was this like, did they interview the guys from Kiss in
Only
this documentary?
Only Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons, because I think they fired the other two over drugs and money.
Oh.
It's all rock and roll, Kenny. It's sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Who cares? It's the Kiss Army. Play it, Brian. Woo!
Oh, God.
On a hot day? Come on, man.
How long was last night's episode? Was it an hour? Was it an hour and a half? Was it 2 hours? I'm curious.
4-hour documentary. Parts one so and two, two and Sunday. Two. Part two yesterday, 2 hours. A&E, outstanding. I don't know. So this A&E, they went from, I mean, I could be hooked on this channel. They went from documentaries on my favorite wrestlers from the WWE to my favorite rock and roll. It's like, it's my own private TV station. What else would I do? You go from 1 week Ric Flair, a documentary, to Kiss? You never want to leave your TV.
So you watched that, not the the Clippers, as I predicted yesterday, beat the Suns on the road. How about that?
Yeah, Paul George licked it up with 41 points last night. Of course I watched a little bit of the game.
All right!
There are commercials during the documentary, don't you know?
Yeah, so you flipped back and forth. Who were the two they interviewed? Gene Simmons, who's the other guy?
Paul Stanley.
Paul Stanley.
Wait, so I might Paul still have Stanley their real names somewhere. Let me see if I still have
on one channel
those.
And Paul George on the other.
Not
so a
Paul
pair
George,
of Pauls.
Paul, yeah. Let me see if I have that from yesterday. Their real names, I think I had it. I wrote it down somewhere. I don't think I still have it.
Quell? It wasn't one
it was,
of them.
It was something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. You were telling me yesterday.
We'll find it later.
Names. Yeah, so I watched the Suns and the Clipper. Oh, go ahead.
Here it is. Chaim Fitz and Stanley Burt Eisen. That's Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley.
What spell Gene Simmons' real name. Spell it for me.
Chaim. C-H-A-I-M. And, you know, because they're Mediterranean. You know, he's Israeli. Chaim. Chaim. Like L'Chaim?
Yes, yeah.
C-H-A-I-M. Fitz. W-I-T-Z. Gene Simmons.
Chaim Fitz.
That's it.
Is Gene
That's
Simmons.
It. You can't be a rock and roll star with a name like Chaim Fitz.
Yeah. Here's the Kiss Army with
you know what happened?
Chaim Fitz.
This is Chaim Fitz, and somebody would say, God bless you.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, like was this part of it?
Of course.
Say, me and the boys and Beth. And Beth.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There it is. That's the way we rock and roll on this show.
That's
there
it, man. Go. I wish it was Friday.
Hey, but give Ty Lue credit, man. He's been down this road before.
Yeah.
Down 3-1 with the Cavaliers when they beat the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals. He wasn't fretting yesterday. They came out, and they took it to the Suns in Phoenix from the opening tip and won by 14 points convincingly last night.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of hard to watch Ty Lue coach another team. And it's unfortunate because when you're at the pinnacle and you go to the finals year after year after year, you come back in a rebuild mode and all of a sudden you get fired or don't want to be there in the first week of a season. I've got a problem with that because it shows me that he wasn't all in this organization. You want to expect that? They fire a guy because they were losing? No, they fired him because he didn't want to be here, in my opinion. Is that
well?
Am I onto something there? Am I totally wrong?
I think you're a little off base because there's more that has been talked about behind the scenes that he was promised that they would continue to try and win and challenge. And
they still have a high payroll.
Didn't
the thing is,
happen,
in the NBA, you're only as good as how much money you're willing to spend. And don't tell me this is a matter of not being able to attract free agents. Because when your payroll is still sky high, you should be pretty good in a league like that. Now, take it in terms of another manager who's had the ultimate success that doesn't mind being part of a rebuild. And, of course, I'm talking about Tito Francona. When you compare Tito Francona to Ty Lue, I don't think there's a comparison.
It's a completely different sport, whereas when Tito signed up for this job with the Indians, he knew what he was signing up for, that the Dolans weren't going to always spend a lot of money. And so he took the security of the job knowing he will never be fired. He'll walk away. They won't fire him. He'll walk away if he wants to.
Easy to say now because he's had success. He got to a World Series. He's never had a sub-500 a year. He should have. He should be sub-500 this year with all these injuries.
Well,
you don't hear him talking about getting out of town.
And again, that's because he knows he can control the organization. He's in charge of the organization. And with the Cavaliers, that will never be the case with the head coach or the general manager.
You're right, because it wasn't Ty Lue. It was LeBron James. Let's go to break. You're right. It's all LeBron.
No, it's Dan Gilbert versus the Dolans.
LeBron.
Terry Francona knows that he can control basically
it
the baseball side
LeBron
of it.
James.
Dan Gilbert wants to control the basket.